For the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom.
Hello and welcome to Living God's Way, coming to you from the Grace Christian Assembly, formerly Germantown Christian Assembly, in the Mount Airy section of Philadelphia. In an age when many are abandoning Christian values, Pastor Brian Grant's expository preaching from the timeless Word of God will remind us that the best way to live is to live God's way. Once again, we greet you, our radio listeners. This broadcast program is coming to you from the Grace Christian Assembly in the East Mount Airy section of Philadelphia, and this evening we will be hearing the conclusion of a timely message by Dr. Raphael Thomas celebrating the kind of nation that can expect the providential blessing of the Lord. As Americans, we rejoice that our founding fathers, some believers, some not, crafted the founding documents of our nation, giving lasting evidence that, to a man, they respected the governing principles found in the Word of God, the Bible, principles that set this nation on a course unknown and unique among the nations of the world. Listen with us now as Dr. Thomas finishes his message, "Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord."
He is an awesome God. May we fear God. May we recognize that He is a holy God. May we bow down before Him in worship, praise, and adoration, because all other gods are idols. But there is no God like Jehovah. And so God calls us to bow down and worship Jehovah. Bow before Him and acknowledge Him as the Creator. Acknowledge Him as the God of love, as the God who is sovereign. Let all the earth fear the Lord. Let all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of Him. Verse 9 says, "For He spoke, and it was done." What a God. He spoke and it was done. He commanded and it stood fast. Do you remember when the Red Sea was given the command and it parted? He is a God whose word creates action. He calls us to a godly fear. May reverence return to some homes and some communities. May reverence of the Holy God return to this nation. For the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Hebrews 5:7 tells us of Jesus, who in the days of his flesh, when he had offered up prayers and supplications with vehement cries and tears to him who was able to save him from death, he was heard because of his godly fear. God hears the prayers of those who fear him. Another word that could translate that word fear is piety. It is okay to be holy. In fact, the songwriter calls us to take time to be holy, to speak oft with the Lord. We find time for everything else to prepare ourselves for this world. But are we prepared for the other world? God calls us to righteousness, to fear Him, to recognize His holiness. Proverbs 14:34 tells us, "Righteousness exalts a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people." It is a word for our nation today. Righteousness will exalt this nation, but sin will cause a reproach upon this nation. It is a call to the nation, to the government of this nation, to the citizens of this nation, to all who live in this nation. Righteousness exalts a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. And it also goes for the individual. Sin will destroy an individual. Sin will destroy families. Sin will destroy communities. Oh, that today we will embrace righteousness. We will come to God and ask for forgiveness of our sins, and that he would cleanse us and wash us in his blood and make us holy. Sin will destroy us in this life and then take our souls to a devil's hell. Ecclesiastes 12, 13 to 14 gives us a summary of what God calls us to. I see, and this is from the wise man Solomon. After he had explored wealth, he explored wine, he explored women, he came to the conclusion. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is man's all. Or another translation says, for this is the whole duty of man. This is what God requires of us, that we fear him and keep his commandments, that we obey him. What does the Lord require of thee, O man, but to do justly and to love mercy, Micah 6, 8, and to walk humbly with your God? Back to Solomon, why did he conclude that there is nothing more important than fearing God and following his commands? He says, for God will bring every work into judgment, including every secret thing, whether good or evil. Our God sees. One preacher says God can see the blackest cat in the darkest night. There is nothing hidden from the presence of God. He knows even the very thoughts in your heart. And so he calls us to righteousness, because we serve a God whose wrath will be poured out on unrighteousness. You see, he will not just look the other way. He is God Almighty, and he expects us to comply with the demands upon our lives, because we are not our own. We were created by him. We have an obligation to play by his rules. The Apostle Paul elaborated on this in Romans chapter 1, reading from verse 18. Hear the word of the Lord. He says, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness, because what may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has shown it to them. For since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. We are without excuse. God has put in our hearts the capacity for us to feel guilty when we sin. And we know when we are walking away from God. And we know when we are dabbling in unrighteousness. God calls us to remember that he will bring judgment against unrighteousness. Verse 21 says, because although they knew God, they did not glorify him as God, nor were thankful, but became futile in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Professing to be wise, they became fools and changed the glory of the incorruptible God into an image made like corruptible man, and birds and four-footed animals and creeping things. Therefore God also gave them up to uncleanness in the lust of their hearts, to dishonor their bodies among themselves, who exchanged the truth of God for the lie, and worshipped and served the creature rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Verse 26 says, for this reason God gave them up to vile passions, for even their women exchanged the natural use for what is against nature. Likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the women, burned in their lust for one another, men with men committing what is shameful, and receiving in themselves the penalty of their error, which was due. God calls us to righteousness and to holy living. The word of the Lord continues, and even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a debased mind, to do those things which are not fitting, being filled with all unrighteousness, sexual immorality, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, evil-mindedness. They are whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, violent, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, undiscerning, untrustworthy, unloving, unforgiving, unmerciful, who, knowing the righteous judgment of God, that those who practice such things are deserving of death, not only do the same, but also approve, those who approve, who practice them. God is a holy God, a righteous God, a God who will not excuse us, but a God who will forgive us if we come to Him. A blessed nation rejoices in God. A blessed nation reveres God. And thirdly, a blessed nation relies on God. You see, from the very outset, this nation has recognized God. I'm not saying it's a perfect nation, that it was completely obedient to all that God commands, but there is evidence that this nation had a regard for God. The United States Declaration of Independence contains four references to God: laws of nature and of nature's God is one quote. Another reference is to God as creator. He is also referred to as the supreme judge of the world. And it refers to his divine providence. It's an indication that the leaders of this nation, the founders of this nation, had a regard for God. The document grounds human rights in God rather than government. It says all men are created, note the word created, equal, endowed by their creator with certain unalienable rights. George Washington repeatedly emphasized religion and morality. In his 1796 farewell address, he wrote, "Of all the dispositions and habits which lead to political prosperity, religion and morality are indispensable supports." John Adams wrote in 1798, "Our Constitution was made only for a moral and religious people. It is wholly inadequate to the government of any other. It protects the liberty for religion." The United States Congress appointed chaplains beginning in 1774, a practice that continues to today. Beginning with George Washington, Presidents regularly issued proclamations calling the nation to prayer and thanksgiving. Washington's first Thanksgiving proclamation in 1789 called Americans to thank Almighty God for his blessings. Hear what the psalmist says. The Lord brings the counsel of the nations to nothing. He makes the plans of the peoples of no effect. Therefore, we cannot rely on ourselves. It says in verse 11, the counsel of the Lord stands forever. The plans of his hearts to all generations. Then it comes to the heart of the matter. Verse 12, blessed. Let me hear the church say, blessed. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, or blessed is the nation whose God is Yahweh. The people he has chosen as his own inheritance. The Lord looks from heaven. He sees all the sons of men. From the place of his dwelling, he looks on the inhabitants of the earth. He fashions their hearts individually. He considers all their works. God is looking at the heart, for man looks at the outward appearance, but there is a God who is seeing even now the deepest recesses of our hearts. There is a God who knows our thoughts. Nothing can hide from this God. It goes on to say, no king is saved by the multitude of the army. A mighty man is not delivered by great strength. A horse is a vain hope for safety. We can contextualize that and use ammunition these days, because horses were important for war. A horse is a vain hope for safety. Neither shall it deliver any by its great strength. The psalmist in another place says, some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we will remember the name of the Lord our God. For I know that the Lord saveth his anointed. He will hear us from his holy heaven with the saving strength of his right hand. They are brought down and fallen, but we are risen and stand upright. Blessed is the nation who relies on God. May we depend upon God as a nation and as individuals, because it's sweet to trust in Jesus, just to take him at his word. Finally, number four, a blessed nation rests in God. You see, I like the movement of this psalm. It starts out with a global, universal demonstration of God's power. Then it addresses the government or the national. And then it comes down to the individual. But another movement we see going on in this psalm is that it calls us to praise. Then it calls us to revere him. And then it closes with giving us hope. And by the way, that is what should happen when we come to church. We praise him, we revere him, and we leave with hope. Verse 8 says, behold, the eyes of the Lord is on those who fear him, on those who hope in his mercy. So our hope is not dependent upon elections. Our hope is not dependent on our education. Our hope is not dependent on our possession. Our hope is in the mercy, the unfailing love of a mighty God. Some people are putting their hope in riches. They are putting their hope in people. They are putting their hope in different things. But God reminds us today, our hope must be in the mercy of the living God. Because there are some things that we cannot get by buying. We cannot get by borrowing, and we cannot get by bullying, but we must get by receiving it as a merciful gift from God. He says to deliver their soul from death and to keep them alive in famine. You see, God is interested in keeping us alive in famine, but he's also interested in delivering our souls from death. And he calls us not to fear him who can kill the body but cannot touch the soul, but fear him who can kill both body and soul in hell. He calls us to anchor our soul in his mercy today. And we see no greater demonstration of that mercy than Jesus Christ on the cross. Bear with me. I'm trying to finish. Jesus Christ on the cross. The songwriter caught a glimpse of it and he said, mercy there was great. And grace was free. Pardon there was multiplied to me. There my burdened soul found liberty at Calvary. I want to call somebody to Calvary today for your soul to be delivered from the wrath to come, for you to anchor your soul in the hope that Jesus Christ provides. You don't have to come with money. You don't have to come with any qualification, but just to ask for it. For by grace we are saved through faith, and that not of ourselves. It is the gift of God. Do you have a hope, my friends, that goes beyond the grave? Do you have a hope of being with Jesus? The psalmist says, our soul waits for the Lord. He is our help and our shield. Today, if you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you are recklessly exposed to danger. For he is our hope and he is our shield. Today, you can receive him and find security in him. You can hide your soul in his security. And know that the storms of this life shall not overpower you. And death shall not separate you from his love. He is our help and shield. For our hearts shall rejoice in him. Because we have trusted in his holy name. I call someone to trust today. Only trust him, only trust him, only trust him now. He will save you, he will save you, he will save you now. A blessed nation rejoices in God. A blessed nation reveres God. A blessed nation relies on God. A blessed nation rests in God. And if it is good for the gander, it is good for the goose. It is good collectively, and it is good individually. We call the nation to submit to God, but we call individuals today to submit to God Almighty.
My friend, Jesus loves you so much that if you were the only person in the whole world, he would have died just for you. No matter what you've done, Jesus wants to save you. He wants to forgive you today. You say, Pastor Grant, what do I need to be saved? You simply need to trust the Lord Jesus, repent of your sin, and turn to him. You may pray a simple prayer like this. Dear God, I'm a sinner and need your forgiveness. Thank you that Jesus died for my sins. Please cleanse me from all my sin. I receive Jesus Christ into my heart as my personal Savior and Lord. Please help me to live for you from this day forward. Amen. And my friend, if you pray a simple prayer like that and mean it, God will hear you and he will answer your prayer and he will save you. I hope you'll do that right now.
Thanks for tuning in today. If you received Christ, or if this program was a blessing, it would be a great encouragement to hear from you. You may call us at 215-242-5550 or visit our website, livinggodsway.org. We'd also invite your partnership in this life-changing ministry. Gifts can be made through our website or by writing us at 610 East Mount Pleasant Avenue, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, 19119. The address again is 610 East Mount Pleasant Avenue, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, 19119. We invite you to join us for online worship this Sunday at 10 o'clock a.m. at livinggodsway.org. That's livinggodsway.org. It would be a pleasure to have you as part of our online audience. Now, until next week, on behalf of Pastor Grant and our entire church family, this is Steve Washington reminding you that there's no better way to live than to live God's way.